Let us together turn to the chapter that we hope to consider in this coming Lord's Supper season. We would like to direct your attention to the beautiful chapter of Hosea, chapter 14. Hosea 14. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words, and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity, and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. For in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily, and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as an olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn, and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I've heard him, and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Who is wise? And he shall understand these things. Prudent? And he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, these last weeks we have had some storms and rains and thunder clouds, and as you read the book of Hosea, that's what you see. You see the clouds, the dark clouds gathering, as it were. That's what you can picture. The dark clouds in their time of exile. And God was going to exile his people. And this book is just written just before that. You see those dark clouds, as it were, gathering. Because God's people in those days were not walking closely to the Lord. And they had broken the bond of the covenant at that time. But despite all that, there's such a glorious picture. It's as if we see those dark clouds throughout the book, and suddenly there is that ray of light coming through at the end of the book. The glorious grace of God begins to shine as never before, and it shows us the way of repentance. It shows us the way to revival, a spiritual revival of our hearts and souls and minds. It shows us what the Lord does for our souls when he visits us and when he invites us. And as such, it's such a beautiful chapter to consider together as we hope to prepare for the Lord's Supper this coming week. It begins, though, in the depth, as we ought to begin, where we have fallen. That's what we hope to start with. But may the Lord take us, as it were, by the hand through this chapter and through these verses, and lift us up and set us upon the rock, Jesus Christ, who is altogether lovely and who is so very gracious. May he do that for the first time if we have never seen and tasted of his grace yet. But may he do that again for us, and revive us spiritually as we know him. So this morning I would like to focus on the first three verses, and then in the Thursday worship service midweek worship service, verses 5 through 7 will be for the Lord's Supper, and then our dear brother and pastor will be considering verses 8 and 9 as our reflection service, Lord willing. So our text this morning is Hosea chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. I read only verses 1 and 2a. This is God's word. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. May he graciously turn our hearts afresh to himself. So our theme for this morning is simply this: returning to the Lord. First of all, we see the necessity. Why did they need to return? We will see something of the black backdrop, as it were, of this text. Fallen, our text says. So that's what we consider first. And then the nature of this returning. Return to the Lord. What does that mean? The method. The Lord shows us very clearly. Take with you words. So how do we come to the Lord? And then fourthly, the motive. In thee the fatherless findeth mercy. Mercy. So first let us then consider this urgent plea that we hear in this verse. The Lord comes to his covenant people and he says, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. That's why they need to return. They have fallen. We all have fallen in Adam. We know that. But far from showing in these words that sin is, yes, it is a hindrance if we have never come to Jesus Christ, but far from showing us that sin is a hindrance, he shows us in these words that the very sins that we have committed are the reason that we should come and return. Isn't that amazing grace? He pleads with his people, O Israel, return, precisely because you have fallen by your sin, fallen into sin, maybe stumbled into sin this week. Is the Lord speaking to you this morning? He was speaking to his people in exile, and the Lord says, you're no longer standing upright, you're fallen flat in your sins. What is the problem with Israel? Well, it says in our text, their iniquities. And when we have fallen, it's our iniquities, our. Very personally. The crookedness of our heart. Strayed from the Lord, out of his way. Not remembering who he is in his beauty, glory, and mercy, and character, and not remembering what he requires from us out of thankfulness to walk in his ways. And when we listen to this urgent plea of the Lord, O Israel, return to the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thy iniquity, we hear an echo in the chapter before, in chapter 13, verse 9. O Israel, again, return to the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thy iniquity. But there it says, thou hast destroyed thyself. That's what we do by nature, don't we? If there would not be grace and a God who invites us, we would destroy ourselves. And that's what Israel had done in Hosea's days. And that's what God pictured also in the life of Hosea in a very special way. I think we remember that Hosea had to go and marry Gomer. The Lord shows him, take yourself a wife of whoredoms, which is a very interesting lesson that the Lord wanted to show to the people of Israel. With that lesson, he wanted to show what is true, what we read in chapter 1, verse 2, about the people of Israel. Because the land has departed from the Lord. That's what he wanted to show. So Hosea marries Gomer. what it looks like. According to all appearances, first it looks like she is a faithful wife. But the Lord already revealed to Hosea and to Rehuzia that she would not be faithful. He knew. And so it was also with Israel. When God made a covenant, that's the picture here. God made a covenant with Israel at Sinai. He married his people. He was a husband to his people. And she was his wife. Jeremiah says that. Although I was a husband unto you. In chapter 31. God married his people. There was such a loving bond between God and his people. It all looked fine. But very soon, there was spiritual adultery. There was a divorce. What about our hearts? Maybe we have gone to the Lord for the first time and we have gone with much zeal. But soon we found out, prone to wander, Lord, I know it, prone to leave the God whom I love. And this was the problem that the Lord wanted to address. He called Hosea, Mary Gomer, all looked fine. But what did Israel do in Hosea's days? Israel loved to serve the Baals. Israel loved to go to Egypt for horses. Israel loved to go to Assyria. And think about it. Baal was the fertility cult, was the idol of their culture. Israel loved to go to Egypt. That's the land where God brought them out of their bondage. And Assyria was the land that was soon to oppress them and bring them in exile. They trusted in politics. They trusted in idols. And God is showing in Hosea, in the book, that they are basically, with serving idols, they are giving the Lord their divorce papers. That's what spiritual adultery is. That's what our sin does. Let it humble us this morning. We give God our divorce papers when we sin. And even after grace, we might slide back into sin. And how terrible that is. When we left our first love and we grow cold and we lose our awe and wonder. We go back to our old sins. We said we will not go back, but our resolves, what about our resolves? Slowly going perhaps to the world, trying to fill the emptiness of our hearts with our idols. Isn't that a picture of a backsliding sinner? Is there someone here this morning who needs restoration? God shows the way. God shows the way. Or can you say, to greater or lesser extent this morning, by the grace of God, I'm walking in his ways. He's teaching me. There is something of wonder and amazement in my heart that this God would marry me. That he would love me. How is your relationship at this moment with the Lord? Where are you? Are you backsliding or are you warm or somewhere in between? Where are you? Now in Hosea's day, it was a terrible day. It was a terrible day because, listen, it's much like our culture today. There was a lack of truth and mercy and knowledge. It says in Hosea 4:1, hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land because there's no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. That's what it was. Now What does that look like? Verse 2. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood. That was the situation, much like our country. How we need in Canada the grace of the Lord, especially on this day before our elections. And we think about those dark clouds, perhaps, depending on what happens. Maybe that's how we have come to church, with those things in mind. But oh, let us look to our hearts. Let us not look too much to our culture. Let us pray fervently. Because in chapter 4, verse 6, the Lord shows what was the problem with His people. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. What was it that was the problem in those days, which can be the problem even today? It was head knowledge. And the Lord wanted a relationship that was not just head knowledge, but He wanted the love of a husband and a wife that is pictured in the love of a husband and a wife, that He is the husband. That kind of love, that kind of intimacy, that kind of knowledge is the Lord after. Even better than the love of a husband and a wife. And that's why He comes with this urgent plea in our text this morning. O Israel, return to the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thy iniquity. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. If you have to say this morning, I've left my first love. If you have to confess this morning, I don't know the Lord so intimately. Maybe you say, I knew it in the past. Oh, that I know where I might find Him. Then this call comes to you this morning. Return. Return. And it is a gracious call. And it simply means repent. Realize, beloved, your spiritual poverty. I realize it afresh. It's the best way to prepare for the Lord's Supper, when we realize I have nothing. I'm needy. I'm fallen. But that's why our text says, return. Return. Not just with our mouth, as the people in those days did, but with our heart, with our entire being. The Lord wants us entirely. Chapter 6, it looked promising. Chapter 6, come and let us return unto the Lord, for He hath torn and He will heal us. He hath smitten and He will bind us up. After 2 days will He revive us. In the third day He will raise us up and we shall live in His sight. Oh, what a beautiful gospel sound, you would say. And how true this is. And we hope to see more of that. We hope to come back to this gospel sound also the restoring grace Tuesday night, Lord willing. God is so able to revive us and our souls. And even we pray that He will do so this morning already. But look at chapter 6 and what we see. The Lord looks at the hearts of His people then. And He looks at our hearts this morning. It doesn't mean that what He sees there exactly fits what He sees here. But what He saw there is this. Their goodness is like a morning cloud. And as an early dew, it goes away. So what is the picture? We see the dark cloud. And this time it's the dark cloud of their sin. Or the dark cloud of some goodness. Or the light clouds, I should say. And what you see, that those clouds are suddenly broken up and they disappear. It's like a morning cloud. An early dew. You see the dew sometimes and as soon as the sun begins to shine, where's the dew? It's gone. And that was the complaint in Hosea's day, when he looked at the hearts of his people. What does he see in our hearts? Maybe God's people are humbled when they think about the Lord's table. And you're thinking about your life, and you're looking back and you're examining yourself, and maybe you start complaining about this. Lord, my goodness is like that morning cloud. It disappears so quickly. I don't have so much goodness in myself. That's what the Lord showed to his people also. As we read on in Hosea, he said he had to complain about his people in those days. 9 verse 16, they are fruitless. 10 verse 1, they are an empty vine. In those days, it was 10 verse 2, their heart was divided. In verse 11, verse 7, he says, they are bent on backsliding. They are hang up on it. Do we see that sometimes in our hearts? Fruitless. You have to condemn yourself. I'm like an empty vine. How often do you feel like that? Or you see some divided heart. That was the time, in the time of Hosea, the Lord had to complain about those things and had to confront them. But it is with God's people that the Lord doesn't necessarily need to confront them, but they see it themselves. The Lord shows them. They see it and they start to bring it to the Lord, the problems of their hearts. They know what this text says. I have fallen by my iniquity. I have destroyed myself. No, they don't come like Hosea's day when they said in chapter 8, oh God, we know thee. But God had to respond in chapter 9, verse 15, I will drive them out of my house. I will love them no more. In other words, he saw their heart. He saw their mouth was saying something different than their hearts. He saw that. You see that too this morning. If that's you this morning. That's serious. If our mouth says something which is different from our hearts, our mouth and heart should go together, as we hope to see in a moment. God had to say, I will drive them out of my house. I will love them no more. Basically, God was saying, I'm not going to keep my covenant. I have to write them a divorce paper. That's how bad the situation was in Hosea. What about us? Where are we when God looks at us this morning? Have we learned to say, yes, Lord, I am fallen. But search me. Know me. Lead me in the way everlasting. Or do we say, well, Pastor, you're so discouraging. You're so discouraging. I'm not like the people in Hosea's day. It's not as bad. The question is, do we know something about our iniquity? Are we humbled on account of our sins? Do we know that we stand in the presence of a holy God? Who, when sin has infested our lives, and when sin, especially when sin is dominating our life, he must say to us, I will love them no more. That's what he has to sin because of his holiness. Is to sin, O sinner, you have fallen by your iniquity. Fallen deeply. But God's people say, yes, Lord, that is true. And we stop blaming others. We stop blaming circumstances. We stop blaming God. We blame ourselves and our sins. We don't make excuses. We own our sins. Have you done so? Beloved, have we done so? And then we come. And then we plead. And the Lord calls us, not just those who know the Lord, but especially also those who don't know the Lord. He calls us and says to us, return. Return. What grace. What blessed Lord words as we come to our second thought here. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God. The text pictures for us Hosea, who is going, who is seeking, who is going after his Gomer. That's what it is in this word. Someone strayed. Gomer has strayed from him and has gone after other lovers. And Hosea is going after her to show her that he still loves her. That's the wonder of our text. It's the wonder of the prodigal who is going to return, and the father is looking. And he's wanting his prodigal son or prodigal daughter to come home. He's already to put the ring on the finger, to call for new garments, clean garments, and to kill the fatted calf. When there is the least trace of true repentance in us. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God. What does that mean? Return means simply repent. It is we have been walking away from God and we are walking toward God. We are walking into the arms of someone who is full of love and grace and mercy and forgiveness. We are walking toward the embrace, toward his favor, toward his nearness. Do you see the grace? Do you see the grace in this text? Yes, repentance is bitter when we consider our sins, but it is sweet when we consider the grace of God. O Israel, return. Return. God wants his black bride back and close. His adulterous wife. His Gomer. Come back. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? But that's what God is showing in our words here in our text. O Israel, return. O sinner, return. Return to him for the first time. Return to him for the thousandth time. The God who says, I hate sin, and who said in 9 verse 15, I will love them no more. I will have to shut the door of my house. I will give up on them. The God who said that says here in this verse, return. Spiritual adulterers, return. God wants sinners to return. All kinds of sinners, whatever sinner you are. He wants us to come back in repentance. And he shows us in the book of Hosea such beautiful bright rays of sunshine and of the glorious character of his mercy and grace. Let me give you one here. He had to say in chapter 11, verse 7, my people are bent on backsliding. They go away from me again and again. But then we hear, as it were, the passionate cry of the Lord, the grace of God on display, and he says, how shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee, Israel? My heart is turned within me. My repentings are kindled together. What does that mean? He says basically this. Yes, my people is bent on backsliding. They go so easily astray from me. But I can't give her up. I can't let her go like the world. My heart is turned within. My heart is churning. I'm heartbroken. Humanly speaking, of course, about God who is the Spirit. My repentings, that is my compassion, my pity, is kindled together, that is aroused. It my heart is on fire with love and with compassion. For those people, bent on backsliding, who have to say, my heart is so fickle. Isn't that amazing grace? He says that about people who have destroyed themselves, who have fallen by their iniquity. He says, I can't give them up. I can't. I'm heartbroken. But I still love her. Oh friends, how true that is of Jesus Christ. When he went to the cross, don't we see someone who says, I can't give them up. My bride.
Oh God, why hast thou forsaken me? He's full of in the garden, he's full of temptation to give up. But how can I give them up? He stays on that cross as he pays that price. Because for whom? For a sinful bride like Gomer. And so he doesn't give up on his bride, but he gives up his life for her. What love, what love, what love is this? O Israel, return to the Lord thy God, the God of the covenant, the God who is faithful, even when we are unfaithful, who calls us back, who shows us the way, who works in our hearts what we don't have. The God who says, come back in repentance. I bound myself to you. When you were baptized, I set you apart so that you can come to me as a heavenly Father, with all your troubles, with all your trials. The God who says in the Lord's Supper, I can feed your soul. Seek me, return to me. I'm the Lord, your God, for Christ's sake. The one and the true and the only God there is, the Lord thy God. There is none else. He is God. He is faithful. He is gracious. He is good. He is righteous. He is holy. He is just. He shows that at a cross. So just that instead of punishing us, that he punished his dearly beloved Son. He doesn't easily give up on sinners. Even those who have sinned, like in the days of Hosea. Maybe you say, I want to come, I want to be delivered. How? How? Maybe that's your question this morning. Oh, that's what we are going to consider after we sing, The Lord Shows Us the Method. Thirdly, Psalter. Oh, what desperate need we have to know how to return to the Lord. And what grace and mercy he shows in our verses. He doesn't let us figure out ourselves. He leads us to himself, to his loving embrace. Especially when we say, I don't trust myself. I can say things. But my heart, Lord, draw my heart. And yet, he does want to hear words. He does. He wants to hear our words. Listen to verse 2 and 3. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us. We shall not ride upon horses. Neither shall we say any more to the works of our hands, ye are our gods. He wants words that come from our hearts. And he puts those words as it were before us. Take with you words, turn to the Lord, and say to him. What are we to say? Well, first of all, we are to say a word of confession to him. Take away all iniquity. That means we are full of iniquity. But Lord, I have fallen, but now take it away. And the words are so beautiful. Completely forgive, we could translate it to. Completely forgive. Don't just forgive a sin here and there. No, past, present, future. Completely forgive. What are the sins that you are bothered by right now, that you're guilty of, that come to your mind? Confess and say, Lord, completely forgive. take away all my iniquity. And the fact that he puts these words into our hearts and into our mouth and in the scriptures shows that he's willing that we come this way. He takes us by the hand. It's the echo of the words of David, is it not? Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sins. I was shapen in iniquity. It's the cry of the prodigal, is it not? Father, I have sinned. I am not worthy to be called thy son. It's that same cry that we hear with the publican in the back of the temple. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The sinner. Take away, let us cover it over with the blood of Jesus Christ. With the blood that comes from the wounded side of Jesus Christ. And do we remember when that wounded side was pierced with a spear? It pierced his heart. It pierced his heart. We could say it comes from his broken heart of love. A fountain of love and forgiveness and grace to cleanse and to heal, to cover over all our guilt, all our shame. Take it all away. A word of commitment, secondly. Receive us graciously. Oh, the beautiful sound of the gospel. To be accepted in Jesus Christ. Receive us graciously, embrace us, adopt us into thy family. In terms of Hosea, Lord, be my husband. Receive me, love me, keep me, cover over my sin, and let the steadfast love of the Lord be my strength. It's a word of commitment of a black bride, a sinful bride, who says, here am I, Lord, receive me graciously. It's also a word that shows us that God is committed to receive sinners graciously. He's committed to do so because he shows this is the way. These are the words you have to take. It's a word of celebration. So will we render the calves of our lips. We should perhaps say, some of us might say, well, this is a strange expression, but it is a beautiful expression when we understand what it means. The calves of our lips, this brings us back to the temple, to the sacrificial meal, to the peace offering, where a saved sinner, a sinner who has received renewed grace of the Lord celebrates in the presence of the Lord with calves and eats because there's peace and joy in the heart. And this says then the calves of our lips, this is the offering, the sacrifice that rolls from our lips, the praise to our God for his amazing grace, for his amazing forgiveness. Isn't that how we ought to come to the Lord's table? Next week, Lord willing. We have tasted of his forgiveness. And how amazing is his grace. He will receive us graciously. And he will have peace with us. Isn't it what we read in Psalm 116? That we come with those words. What shall I render? What shall I give back? What can I give back for all those benefits in Jesus Christ given to me? I will take that cup of salvation. I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving. And we call upon the name of the Lord. And so we come with joy in our heart, with thanksgiving, with adoration for who he is, and praise and celebration. Because there's one word ringing in our hearts. It is finished. It is finished. And because it is finished, we want to be finished with our sins. And that's the last word here that we are to bring. It's a word of confidence. Maybe I should say of non-confidence in idols. No idols. Egypt was because of the horses. Asher is Assyria. And Baal, the idols that were made by their own hands. And the child of God says, as we hope to hear later as well, what have I to do anymore with idols? No political saviors. Asher or Assyria or Egypt. They can't save me. No, not the works of my own hands. Not my homemade saviors. The works of my heart, my own ideas. Not the horses, we can say the powerful tools. I do this and that. No, I can't save myself. We come simply with this. No more trust in idols. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked, I come to thee for dress. Helpless, I come to thee for grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior. Else I die. And so we come for the first time or again. If you're feeling far from Him, this is the way. If you're longing to be close at the table, this is the way. Walk in it. What a great Savior. What a great salvation. And those who come like this will in no wise be cast out. He comes with His love and pity and draws us so that we can experience His mercy. That brings us to our last thought here, the motive. God puts this in our mouths, and bless the Lord when He puts it in our hearts, so that we echo these words this morning. And that it echoes with our hearts. And we say, yes, Lord. This is what I need. This is what I need. Are they echoing with your heart this morning? These words that show us this prodigal is returning. He had to rehearse words. No, the Lord puts words here this morning in our hearts and mouths by His Holy Spirit. These are God's own words. This is the way that He shows mercy, kindness, when we come like this. And then these words, so beautifully, with thee the fatherless findeth mercy. So we meditate on those words this week. Take away all my iniquities. Receive me graciously. Lord, I will render the calves of my lips. I will give thee praise. And Lord, I don't want to serve idols anymore. And when we come and we meditate on these words, especially let us focus on these words of here at the end. With thee, the fatherless findeth mercy. Sinners who have ruined themselves. Fallen in Adam. Deeply fallen in Adam. That's what Hosea shows in Hosea 6 verse 7. But they, like men, like Adam, literally, have transgressed the covenant. There have they dealt treacherously against me. You see, Adam was our father. And in Adam we are all such wretched sinners. If Adam is our father, we are actually fatherless. We have no God to take care of us. But this, here it shows, there is a Father. For those who have fallen by their iniquity, for those who are in Adam, there is now mercy and a Father who comes and embraces His sinful people. They find mercy. Do you know something of His mercy? Have you experienced it? Do you know something about the mercy that God puts words in your mouth when you come to Him in repentance and faith? Have you found in Jesus Christ mercy to come back to the Father's house? Oh, that mercy. In thee the fatherless findeth mercy. It is not to be described with words. It's to be experienced with our hearts, so that our hearts leap for joy. Oh, those who come with their emptiness, with their need, with their sinfulness, with their broken heart, with their broken covenant. The Lord had to say the broken covenant, I will not love them anymore. But no, when we come this way, by the grace of God, through the powerful Holy Spirit's work, they will find mercy. Let's glimpse into the book of Hosea one more time and see something of the amazing love of God. Mercy, that's a word that you see throughout the book, especially in the relationship between Gomer and Hosea. Gomer had gone away, and she received a child, conceived a child. The first child, Lo Ruhama, which means no mercy. Second child, or the first one, Jezreel, then Lo Ruhama, and then Lo Amni. No mercy. And Lo Amni, not my people. That's what God had to say about His people. Not my people. Spiritual adultery, when He sees that in our hearts, He says, not my people. But for spiritual adulterers, there is a homecoming. There's a miracle that can take place in your hearts, in my lives, life. It's the miracle of Hosea 2, verse 23, where God puts His mercy on display like nothing else. I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy, He says there. You see that? I must say, no mercy to my people, not my people. But now, through His grace, He can say, and He promises to say, they who have not receive mercy, will obtain mercy. And they who are not my people, He will say, thou art my people. And they shall say, thou art my God. That's the wonder and the miracle of God's covenant renewal when He makes us alive. That's what we say. The New Testament picks up on that beautiful verse in two places. 1 Peter 2 verse 10 and especially Romans 9 verse 25. Let me read that to you for a moment. As He saith unto also in Osei, which means Hosea, I will call them my people which were not my people, and her beloved which was not beloved. Is there here someone who says, I feel not loved? I don't belong to the good people of God. He calls and says, return to me. Take with you words. Then the one who feels unloved can receive the love of God. Do you see that? Still possible. Those who are called by nature, Lo Ruhama, unloved. Through the grace in Jesus Christ, through the way of repentance and faith, can be called. She is loved. A black bride. That's what He does. For sinful Gomers, He reclaims us. By His mercy, in thee, the fatherless finds mercy. This is love. This is faithful love. This is God's love. This is undeserved love. This is sovereign love. This is amazing love. This is amazing grace for prodigals. Come, return to the Lord. He can heal us. He can bring us close. And rejoice in His love. Amen.